Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Monday night installment here at Your Remedies of Law. My name is Michael Stolman, your host for this evening's conference call brought to you by Your Remedies of Law, which is in direct affiliation with American Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer. Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. You're on this call because of a situation in your life where you require legal advice. I very politely ask you to hang up the phone. Now, we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everyone in no uncertain terms that anyone looking for legal advice has no place or business here on any of these calls. Nobody here at Your Remedies in the Law or any of the programs offered by Americans Restoring America is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, no one here is able to offer you any legal advice. Should you require legal advice, my advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes. Just folks saying what they might do. Were they similarly situated to you? You might get some entertainment out of it. Might get some education out of it. But mainly, you're just going to get folks' opinions about what they might do. However experienced as these thoughts and opinions might be, at the end of the day, they are still just that, just people's opinions. It is always up to you to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next subject. I can take everybody to the homepage of www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com. You look up in the upper right-hand corner, see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that, and you have a separate page come up with just two items on it. These two items are of much importance, especially if this is all new to you. First on the left, you have the jurisdictionary course. That is your 24-hour crash course on the rules of civil procedure, better known to some as American jurisprudence or AMJUR. Rules of civil procedure are essentially the foundation or structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a firm and thorough understanding of these rules means to have at least a basic concept of what's going on in virtually any course scenario that you might find yourself in. On the right is the common law default process, mostly known for its national 85% win rate in most traffic cases throughout the country. That's usually what it's purchased for anyway. But that's not really why it's up here. The reason that we've got it up here is once you've gone through the jurisdiction course a couple times and you start on the common law default, you'll start to see very quickly that it acts as a real-life homework assignment for the jurisdictionary. Most of the core structures that you learned about in the jurisdictionary, you're now acting out in a real-life scenario with the common law default. And so with such a high win rate, and the fact that it is, again, usually for traffic scenarios, folks find it a little more palatable for that to be their first interaction in a real-life scenario. Both of these items are very affordably priced, asking just a small contribution of $250 for the jurisdictionary and $150 for the common law default. So we encourage you to pick those items up at your earliest convenience. All right, we back out of that to the homepage of Your Remedy. We see there the login and register. That prompts us to remind you to pick yourself up a membership there at Your Remedies in the Law as well. Also very affordably priced, just $10 a month gets you a full membership. You can do that automatic every month with your credit card or PayPal, whatever's convenient for you. And that gives you full membership to Yuremity. A lot of wonderful features there, a lot of different educational processes there for you to take a look at. And, of course, you get full access to all the calls, get the phone numbers and the pins, and then, of course, every call is recorded. So you have now access to the archives, years and years of archives of different calls, different topics, a vast wealth of knowledge available there to you. Right. Bear with me here one moment. All right. All right, on to the next subject. Most of you probably notice now, every time you go to your remedies in the law, you have that little blue box that pops up asking if you want to continue on with your remedies in the law, if you want to stop for a moment and check out Americans Restoring America. The reason that we've done this is very simple. We're trying to get folks to explore. Too often we hear, I wish I'd known about this, or I wish I'd heard about that. And so we put that there to remind folks to, you know, to do a little bit of exploring. Your remedies in the law has grown considerably in size over the last some years. A lot of different information providers, a lot of different teachers, a vast array of topics. And all that is encompassed within your remedies in the law, all these different things. As you look at that, your remedies in the law is just one of a dozen and a half websites that all together makes up Americans Restoring America. So there's quite a bit there for you to see. Odds are for most of you, probably haven't even scratched the surface. And so next time it's your you have the time and the convenience, I encourage you to take a moment and explore. Also, you might have noticed on virtually every website that we have, see that map of the United States. That is Grass Fire Communications, formerly known as Statewide Communications. It's a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another on a local level based on a very strict, pre-decided topic of discussion. You've got a very easy-to-use install wizard. I put your name in here, click next, that sort of thing. Then it's going to ask you at some point for you to pick from a list of topics what topics interest you. These topics range anything from tonight's topic of status change to home foreclosure remedies to IRS matters, credit card issues, veterans' rights, health rights, on and on. If you can think of it, you'll find it in that list. And, of course, you can pick multiple items from the list. And then towards the end, it's going to ask you to choose a radius from the home point, whether that's citywide, countywide, statewide, some variation. When it's all done, it puts it together how most would probably describe as a social media, but really nothing like a social media. It's very custom, very private, but how most would probably describe that. And the idea here is that you know, you sit down there one day and you say, well, this happened to me today. The first few people come back and say, well, I don't think they should be able to do that. I don't think that's fair. This is what I'm talking about. Well, that all might be very good and well. Know how well it's going to do for your educational, for the educational aspect of it. Then maybe somebody jumps in there at some point and says, well, I'll tell you what I would do if I was similarly situated. I'd go down to my local county courthouse, go to the law library. If you didn't know, every county's got a courthouse. Every courthouse has a law library, free of the taxpayer. And I'd look up these terms, and I would see what they mean, and that'd probably give a good starting point as to what you're going to be looking at. And then I'd watch this YouTube video, a phenomenal YouTube video that will explain, you know, the situation that you're in. Well, now we're starting to get somewhere. Maybe the next person comes in after that and says, well, that last person that wrote in there, that was a very, very good point. Also, I'd go to this website and I'd purchase this educational process. Well, you see where I'm going with this. The idea is to put the power of communication, the power of education, back in the hands of the common man. Once you've learned how to your own due diligence, and what you've learned how to handle your own affairs, your own matters. Well, I'll tell you, there's nothing illegal or unlawful about that. That's all we're trying to get folks to do is just start talking again, start learning how to educate themselves. All right, starting to wind down here. This next portion we call your caveat emptor, or your buyer beware. When you come aboard, if you choose to come aboard with an information provider, you're doing just that. You're coming aboard directly with that information provider. Now, these information providers pay for advertising at your remedy. This would be an expense to that information provider along with any other costs that would be associated with your particular educational process or whatever your endeavor might be. That brings us to an even more specific point, what is the refund policy or what is the credit policy at your remedies and the law? Well, there is none. If that was a conversation that would need to be had, that would be a strict and private matter between you and your information provider. But even then, I must tell you that's few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You're always expected to have done your due diligence again before you commit to any information provider's time or process. All right, I guess lastly here, I want to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these conference calls are our guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always keep it civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we all get to learn something. All right, well, that is my ramble for this evening, folks. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and turn the call over this time to Mr. Edward, and he will introduce our speaker, I believe, GW, for this evening.
Well, thank you, Martin. Martin, I do not have access to the board, so first okay. Is a sound check. Sound check. Do you hear everything okay?
I do. I hear you Good. Fine.
Thank you, sir. And when GW arrives, just interrupt me, please. What I'm going to do tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is since really everyone on the call tonight, I presume, any newbies? Martin?
No, I thought I saw, I saw one when I first came on, and I asked, and I didn't get a response, but it looks like
that's our programmer. Got it covered already. All right? One of the programmers. So what I like to do, since everyone on the call is already familiar with your political citizenship status, the fact that you actually have two options. One option, you can live within the Constitutional Republic. The other option is you can live in this thing called a democracy. The former is where you have constitutional rights from the creator of the universe. The latter is where you have civil rights, which are not really rights, they're privileges, and they're granted to you by the Congress. Two different land masses that we're dealing with, the several states being where you are a Union state citizen, otherwise known as an American national, which are two words or phrases that most people do not even understand or have never heard before. But if you think about it for a moment, at least Union state citizen should ring a bell. United States citizen is really something that someone that is confined to 10 miles within the seat of power, all territories, possessions, and enclaves, and that's it. We're having great fun and challenges within the court system as the information providers assist the different students as they navigate through something that the courts absolutely do not want to address. So that with that having been said, no sense in beating that horse again. I like to go through Quora and read the questions that I respond to and then share with you my answers. And hopefully with some of them, it's part of a teaching process to further validate and give you something to go and prove me wrong, if you would. So with that having been said, let's see. We'll start at the latest and go backwards. What are the reasons that many countries adopted British common law instead of the French civil code or other legal systems? And my reply simply was, at one time, quote, the sun never set on the British Empire, end quote. How long can an American citizen stay outside the United States of America before losing residency? And then my reply was, residency, that's in quotations, legally speaking, is a United States citizen having domicile in Washington, D.C., yet living in one of the several states in perpetual union as a resident. And then I quoted U.S. versus Anthony, 24, Fed 829, quote, the term resident and citizen of the United States is distinguished, meaning different, from a citizen of one of the several states, in that the former is a special class of citizen created by the Congress, end quote. And then I continued, whose rights come from the government versus a citizen, uppercase C, of one of the several states enjoying rights from the creator of the universe. By your reference to a, quote, American citizen, end quote, the lowercase c that you wrote is indicative of one of who is, quote, property in a franchise of the United States, quote, referring to Wheeling Steel Corporation versus Fox, 298 U.S. 193 80 L.Ed. So the best thing one may hope for is losing residency and enjoying your birthright as a citizen, uppercase C, of one of the several states. For a better understanding, please read Once We Were Colonists.com. Next question, what is the sovereign citizen ideology? Look up, quote, it may be merely the name of a sovereign occupying the position analogous to that of other sovereigns in the family of nations, end quote. Then tell me what you've learned. That was my reply. Next question, are there other examples where individuals flout federal law with respect to lands, like what Clive and Bundy is doing? And then I wrote an all uppercase, which is called screaming. Why would you ask such an inflammatory question without knowing the facts of the matter? The courts ruled in favor of Bundy. People like you bring out about social unrest. Is that your intention? Is your intention to foment anarchy? Quote, on July 8, 2018, the U.S. District Court Judge Gloria Navarro dismissed with prejudice criminal charges against Clive and Bundy, his sons Ammon and Ryan, and co-defendant Ryan Payne regarding the standoff, end quote. So that was that. Next question, are there set laws that everyone has to abide by where you live, or can you make up your own laws? Love it. I think there's people that are paid money just to write questions and hope somebody answers them. There are two sets of laws for the American people, // United States persons. The American people follow the Almighty One's law, and there is a bar against the United States government from any interference. In other words, the American people may do anything they want to do, so long as they cause no injury to another people, person, or property. The United States persons must abide by about 80 pounds of rice paper of U.S. laws, codes, and regulations. United States persons are, quote, property in a franchise of the United States, end quote, and as such, you're really no better off than the former American slaves before the 13th Amendment. For a better understanding, please see Once We Were Colonists.com. Next question, what is the difference between a country and a state? Are there any countries in the world that are not states, but rather just one nation, not including nations that are recognized by other nations like Taiwan? I wrote, here in the United States of America, each of the people and each person is a state. Does not probate court deal with one's estate when they pass on? Here in the United States of America, each union state is also a separate country. As early as the 1950s, the Congress even made such a direct reference. The several United States or states united are, this is a quote, are considered to each other except in regards to their relations as common members of the Union. The term foreign nations, as used in a statement of the rule of law of foreign nations, should be proved in a certain manner, should be considered to mean all nations and states other than that which is caught, which is action is brought in. And hence, one state of the Union is foreign to another state of the Union in that sense of that rule. This comes into clarity when you remember that a fugitive from justice is extradited from one state to another. As a recent federal statute proves that the Congress still refers to the 50 states as countries. When a state court in Alaska, and I want to thank Jennifer Sue for bringing this to my attention a couple of years back, when a state court in Alaska needed a federal judge to handle a case overload, the Congress amended Title 28 of the United States Code to make that possible. In its reference to the 50 states, the statute is titled, quote, the assignment of judges to courts of the freely associated compact states, end quote. Then the Congress refers to these freely associated compact states as countries, referencing subsection B, it says, and I quote, the Congress consents to the acceptance and retention by any judge so authorized of reimbursement from the countries referred to in section A. Next question. What role can lawyers play in making laws more understandable for the general public? How can lawyers make understanding law any easier for the general public than they themselves do not understand? And if they do understand, refuse to demand its evidence upon the record, the basic tenet to all law, i.e., jurisdiction. Before you get up on your high horse in defense of lawyers, consider reading Once We Were Colonists.com and refute the voices of judges sitting upon the bench in each of these cases cited. Next question. When the founding fathers of the Constitution wrote that all men are created equal, did they think of the slaves? I know this answer is going to butt hurt a lot of people. The founding fathers were highly educated men, all Caucasian, who understood the difference between a man and a human being. The Greek they studied clearly delineated between the two, anthropos for man and anthropinos for human. The Greek Septuagint, the transliteration of the ancient Greek, ancient Hebrew into Greek and prior to the modern Masoretic Hebrew, clearly delineates between the two as well. The Greeks translating what the Hebrews translated as, quote, beasts of the field, end quote, and not human being, as the Greeks did, as is proper. Our several states in perpetual union clearly understood these differences as well, even to the point of referring to, quote, white men, end quote, in their founding writings. The late Dan Metter provided an enormous amount of research on that matter, which, sadly, I've lost. What the founders were saying is that, quote, all white men are created equal, a thing not well received to say in this day and age. Now let the slander begin. Next question. The American Revolution established the states as 13 sovereign nations, which invalidated the USA's legal argument of a national union. The states, therefore, remain sovereign nations by law. What will happen when petitioners assert this legal argument? Well, you got to have seen the grin on my face when I read that question. I have not read any of the replies to this question in support of your assertion. I offer the following, which you may find at OnceWeWereColonists.com. The several United States, or several states united, are considered foreign to each other except in regards to their relations as common members of the Union. The term, quote, foreign nations, end quote, as used in a statement of the rule of laws of foreign nations, should be proved in a certain manner, should be considered to mean all nations and states other than that which is the action is brought. Hence, one state of the Union is foreign to another in the sense of that rule. This comes into clarity when you remember that a fugitive from justice is extradited from one state to another, which is what we just read a moment ago. They were just a few days apart when they came in, so I used it. If someone wrongfully accuses you of violating their free speech rights in the United States, can you sue them? My reply was, might that not depend upon if the accusation amounted to slander? Next question, what are the ethical considerations surrounding spying on behalf of a foreign government as a naturalized citizen? My response was, none dare call it treason. Next question, if someone gives a copy of the Constitution today, should it carry the latest version, or is it acceptable if it accurately represents the version of the Constitution as of a specific date? You gotta love these questions. If your political citizenship status is that of an American national, you only concern yourself with the first 8 amendments. The 9th and 10th are in regards to one of the several states in perpetual union. If your political citizenship status is that of a United States citizen, then you want all the privileges the Congress may extend to you as a so-called right within all its current amendments. Don't understand the answer? Please visit oncewewerecolonists.com. Boy, will you be in for a surprise. Martin, how are we doing with GW?
I'm here.
Hey! Martin was supposed to interrupt me. I'm sorry. Have you been here long?
No, only for about 30 seconds or so.
Good. All right. Thank you, Martin. You're forgiven. No problem there. All right. So let's turn this call over to GW. GW, I was just going through my Q&As with Quora, waiting on you. So here we are. Share with us what happened this week in your life with regards to political citizenship status and what else you might have on your mind. Go ahead.
Sure. I was just did a number of things this week. One of the things that I was thinking about that I wanted to cover on this call is, you know, really the mindset and understanding what it is about your citizenship status when it's corrected, and some of the things that you're dealing with on a daily basis. Traffic stops can be one of them, and so it's really necessary to understand what you did and how to ask questions and answer questions correctly when you're in a stop. This just happened with one of the guys that corrected his status, and he had a whole family full of all of his young children in the car, and he got pulled over. It was like the first time in decades, he said, but he was telling me the story of how he handed him the passport card and the cop wouldn't run it. And I just asked him to give me a blow-by-blow, and there's so many things in that process that I wished he had been better equipped for, and now he will, as of this experience, you know, getting that experience, but at sometimes how people have to wake up. Anyway, he did hand the officer the passport card, but the officer refused to run it. What's interesting is he didn't qualify the fact that he doesn't drive. He didn't qualify the fact that he operates and travels according to his God-given right, which is backed up by the Constitution and backed up by his status. And that's a real key thing to put on the record right as you're being stopped or interviewed or asked questions, because all of the police officers nowadays you know, they're being recorded. They have recording devices. They're being recorded. In fact, if they turn off the recording, you come under a lot of scrutiny to do such a thing. And so having that record and being able to precisely give them not only your status, but the fact that, hey, driving is a commercially regulated activity. And as you can see, officer, you know, I've got my children in the car and I'm not, you know, hired for moving any kind of commercial, you know, involved in any kind of commercial activity. I'm simply traveling from point A to point B, which is my God-given right. And this instrument right here, which is a passport card, is not only identification, but it is the highest form of identification in the country. You know, directly from the Secretary of State's office, okay, which is not the state Secretary of State, but the U.S. Secretary of State, that has to do with, of course, citizenship here in America. There's no other department, higher department in the land that has to do with citizenship. And so, you know, having that said on the record would be a good thing to give the police officer the ability to deny you that after you said all that, rather than just handing him the card and him just refusing to run it, which, of course, this individual ended up getting a ticket for a couple different things. I think not producing a license when required or something to that effect. And it would have been so much easier to have said, listen, you know, not only am I not required to have a license, I'm not involved in anything that a license would require. And so just understanding these things and knowing these things up front will put you on a little bit better footing. You don't have to be super callous about it. You don't have to be super belligerent about it. You can stand your ground and be polite and speak about these things. But that is, you know, traveling is your right. And that's one of the things you want to be well prepared for when you do get into a situation where you get stopped. One good thing is he did actually use with his signature without prejudice, which I'm glad he did. That helps a little bit. It's not the end all beat all, but that was good in that. The thing that you want to do if you have the ability to write. Another thing that you can say up front is, sir, if you do wish to contract with me and get me to sign something, I will be signing it with a restricted signature. And whether they know what that is or not doesn't really matter, okay? But a restricted signature is one of the things you do want to use. And putting by, okay, and then a colon right up front before you sign your actual signature is a great way to start, okay? And then we're learning more and more all the time about the fact that we're in equity, and these courts are all in equity, and they're trying to grab the beneficiary position. But if it's expressed, then you basically trump that by putting down after your signature beneficiary, you know, comma and beneficiary, then a comma, and then without prejudice. And so anyway, these are some of the things that we've been really coming to understand are great tools to have in the chest and be disposed to and practice a little bit so that, you know, when these things happens to you, you can at least be in a position to have an upper hand when it comes to discharging and things like that. So that's what I wanted to
wanted to go over and wanted to say lots more stuff happening. And, you know, this world is a pretty crazy place, but there's with more of the craziness out there, there's more and more people that are thinking about how to safeguard their status and also their assets and things like that. So I'm just involved in a lot of that right now. But with that said, we can probably open up Martin probably can open up the lines here and find out if anybody has their hands raised or any questions, any newbies here that would like to talk about the subject of correcting your status with the U.S. State Department and what that involves. We can talk about that.
All right. Outstanding. All right, folks, star 2 on your keypad if you have a question. Star 2 at this time to raise your hand. For everybody listening on the Freedoms Radio side, freedomsradio.com, type your questions or comments in the question bar at this time and click submit. All right, first up we've got Ron in Florida. Go ahead, Ron.
Yes, you went through that signature quite rapidly and I wasn't prepared. Could you repeat that?
Sure. In front of your signature, okay, your upper and lowercase signature, you put the word by, that's B-Y, with a colon. And then you put your signature, and then after that, Ron, you would put a comma, and then you would spell out the word beneficiary. And then you would put a comma, and then you would put the word without prejudice. Prejudice. Did you get that, Ron?
Yep. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. Refresh here. All right, over on the Freedoms Radio side. Okay. I see it there. Yep. Online is working, yes. Okay. Well, we just have that one question so far. Don't be shy, folks. Get those
yeah, I have, while we're waiting to populate, Martin, I have something to share with you all. Anyone wanting to get in touch with me about this, I'd be happy to send you a copy of it. See if I can find it here real quick. Bingo. Nope, that's not it. Okay, I have two attachments I can send to you as PDFs. One is from the Arizona State Senate, a senator, Wayne Stump. This is dated December 10th, 1985, to Ralph Hillstead, Director of Public Safety. And it's was done in affidavit form, notarized, et cetera. It has come to my attention that numerous individuals in our state have rescinded all of their contracts with the United States federal government, the state of Arizona, and each of its political subdivisions, establishing themselves as free men under the organic national constitution of the Republic of the United States of America. Consequently, they may be driving without auto registration, driver's license, or any other evidence of contract. Because many law enforcement personnel may be unaware of the contractual nature of auto registrations and driver's licenses, it is conceivable that this situation may lead to confrontations between the individuals and law enforcement personnel. I urge you to inform yourself and your personnel about this matter as soon as possible. If you'd like to be briefed by someone knowledgeable on the subject, please contact me. In the meantime, And as much as this procedure is entirely appropriate when properly carried out, I would like to be personally notified of every such instance of confrontation in order that the persons involved and the public officials involved may be apprised of the correct procedure and the appropriateness of their actions on the part of each concerned party. My office number is blah, 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 and I'm requesting to be notified of the names and incidences along with addresses and phone numbers of participants of any such confrontations arising from the exercise of a person's freeman status in order to evaluate the outcome of a properly rescinded contract. Isn't that interesting?
That's great. In fact, that letter from Wayne Stump, we just used it in a case here, and it was actually one of, let's just say, Carrie Lake's people that I've been dealing with, got her status corrected, and she was pulled over, and they did basically the same thing to her, but she actually presented the situation pretty correctly to the officer as a DPS officer, Department of Public Safety officer, and here locally in Arizona. And she wanted to take it to the max. And so my team got on it, and not only that, she knows what's interesting is she's a lobbyist down there at the state, and she knows the guy that Wayne Stump presented this to. And so not only, and I got to get an update on this, but not only were they putting all this information in, but she's going through the records to find out how they responded, you know, because that went on the record. And how did they respond? And what did they do? The only thing that I didn't like about the letter, the only one part is where Wade Stump said, you know, the word driving, not traveling. And, but other than that, I think it's a pretty great letter. It has some teeth to it, and it was presented to the Arizona State Legislature, and we're now trying to find out what the response was, the official response was.
Super. I'd like you to keep me updated on that if you would. Now, 30 years later, after the letter I just read to you, 30 years later, the United States of America Department of Travel wrote the then Governor Pat McCrory, November 23rd, 2015, 8 years ago. Violations of the United States Supreme Court rulings regarding the right to travel. Subject, education of law enforcement officers and North Carolina judiciary. Dear Governor McCrory, we are sending this correspondence to make you aware of the unconstitutional acts committed by your law enforcement agencies and state courts against the people of North Carolina. These acts may or may not have been committed knowingly or unintentionally, but we are writing to your office to ensure that these violations are brought to your attention so that they can be addressed and corrected. As you may or may not know, there are people in your state whose status is ostensibly different than that of the average United States citizen and are considered foreign nationals or American nationals with certain safeguards and protections under the law. Our primary concern is that their right to travel in your state are not infringed. In order to educate your law enforcement regarding foreign nationals or American nationals in your state, you may call the Department of State here in Washington, D.C. to get clarity, or you can go to the Department of State's website. There's the link for your for our website, and there's another manual for the manual. And download the manual. The Department of State also offers training for your law enforcement officers free of charge to raise awareness and compliance log on to state another URL. We have enclosed one of our affidavit forms for the exemption of registration and licensing for foreign nationals that foreign nationals have to file in your state to lawfully claim the exemption. This affidavit also can be used by United States citizens who are not driving or operating a motor vehicle for profit or for hire. Please forward this information to all your law enforcement agencies in your state to prevent any unnecessary lawsuits from being filed against these agencies for not following the law and violating the rights of the people to freely travel without interference, unless they are a threat to the public safety. If you have any questions regarding this matter, please feel free to respond in writing, by mail, or fax any questions or concerns that you may have, and we will be happy to answer and address them. Thank you in advance for your cooperation and consideration in this matter. Norv Eisenberg, Foreign National Division. So, if you reach out to me, I will forward these two items to you. I have printed them out. I have laminated them, and I keep them with me in the car. And my hypothetical situation, should I be pulled over, is to sit there and say, officer, before we continue in something that you have done 1,000 times before, would you please just read these two documents? They're 30 years apart, 2015, 1985. They're current. They're used in court. And I'm sharing this with you because I don't want you hurt in the lawsuits that may follow should I have to appear in court for deprivation of rights under color of law. I'm just trying to be friendly with you and helpful to you. And I'll give it to them. Now, if they don't take them or refuse or whatever, I'll just say, look, you have the weapon, you have the microphone, the radio. I am going to comply with anything that you ask me to do because I don't want to die today. So write the ticket and I'll sign it. Arrest me, whatever you're going to do. Let's do it, but do it in peace. And we'll deal with this in court. And that's the way I would handle it. So I've given that officer the opportunity to ask me questions. I've given that officer the opportunity to do the right thing. You cannot deny the statements that these two documents say from government to government. And I'll tell them that. So you've been properly noticed. Are you some kind of lawyer? No, sir. I'm not an attorney or member of the bar. Neither was Abraham Lincoln, just on a side note. But I do study the law, and I understand what deprivation of rights under color of law is as a federal offense. And I understand that to its nth degree, that those found guilty will face the ultimate punishment. Whatever your state has for dealing with that criminal. How may I help you, officer? Let's be good here. And that's basically the way that I would handle it. Your thoughts, GW?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. It's very complete.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Good way to handle it.
All righty. Martin, back to you.
All right. Star 2 on your keypad, folks, if you have a question. And if you're listening on the Freedom's Radio side, type your questions in the question bar and click submit. Michael in Nevada, go ahead.
Yes, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Hey, buddy, how you feeling?
I'm still going to chiropractor. I'm walking. It's a slow process.
Good.
You know, you pull a muscle or a sciatic nerve, it's not comfortable.
Right.
But a couple, three or four more weeks, I should be up and around pretty good. Well, sort of normal, whatever normal is. But anyway.
That's a standing joke for people like you and me.
Yeah, well, they have to have somebody that's qualified to tell you what normal is and where they get their qualifications to prove what they're saying.
You know, back in the day, Mike, back in the day when I was, and this is, I was in my 20s, when I would go into court, I used traffic to learn how to litigate, you know, in a courtroom. And I spent a lot of time in there just in the gallery watching things go back and forth and so forth. Gosh, I'm getting older here. Anyways, that was, I don't know what I'm saying. Back to you. I lost it.
Well, anytime, I keep telling people, you need to go in and sit in a traffic court, go into small claims court, go in and listen to a jury on a criminal. You have the right to go sit in the courtroom. And you'll get an education. It's these lawyers that get out of school, all they learn is procedure. They don't learn the law. And most of them don't know what procedure is. It's all a learning process. It's a matter of whether you want to learn it or not. Most people have other things they want to do, like watch football, Dancing with the Stars, and, going to the bar. Unfortunately for them, they just don't comprehend what's going on. But the reason I called in was I'd sure like to get a copy of that PDF there.
Sure.
That's
send it
that's
to you right now.
Okay, 15 years apart. And I don't know what other time.
30 years 30, apart.
Yeah. I don't know what other kind of evidence. Yeah. What kind of evidence do people need to hear to put you on the right track? I mean, how long does it take to wake up? I hear a lot of them say, oh, the Sovtar this and the Sovtar that and the sovereign. I said, number one, you can't be sovereign and be a citizen. And if you never learn the language, then you need to go back and refresh. Mrs. Dempsey would have had you up by your ear in the classroom. She wouldn't have put up with it. They just, they've been brainwashed. Everybody's brainwashed and indoctrinated to the point where they just go along with it. But, yeah, it's better to have an educational tool and something to speak with the officer on the side of the road. And most of them are all right people. They just, they're indoctrinated. They don't know. I live in Madison County, and they all seem pretty square here. I mean, of course, there's only 22,000 people, and most people here have either businesses or jobs or whatever. A lot of seniors here that don't have much. And that hurricane didn't help. But anyway, that's just what I wanted to say. It's, I keep going to the psychiatrist, to the chiropractor, same thing.
That's what I was going to say. Thank you. One minute. I got to jump in. Back in those days, if I were going into court a month or so before I went into court, 2 weeks, whatever, I went to a psychiatrist in town that was one of my customers, and I sat down, and I'd pay for whatever the interview cost. It's 30 minutes of his time, an hour, whatever, and he would write a letter that said that I was examined on such and such a date, and I was deemed competent, sane, and able to, you know, make my own decisions, whatever. Competency. It was a competency evaluation statement. And I take that to court with me because one of the things that judges will do is they will threaten you with directing you to have you examined. This gets ahead of it. Back to you, Mr. Murphy.
Well, that's a good method to use. Yeah. And, I never thought of it like that, but that's preventative before you go in.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't overcome it.
Cool.
because when you hire a lawyer, you're claiming to be incompetent. It's in right. their code. I just educated the postmaster down here at Greenville today about a 2 cent stamp on a half ounce or less. And I said, I'll give you the guy's phone number I mail the stuff to. He was absolutely amazed. Called me up 2-3 weeks later after he got the letter with the stickers from Arizona. I had a bunch of stickers from a union hall on there. It weighed less than a half ounce. I put a 2 cent stamp, put non-domestic, underlined it, and forgot all about it. And here he calls me up out of the blue. I'll never doubt you again when you tell me something you've read in the law. So it's right in the postal code. Hasn't gone away. We have the post office and the postal service, and the people don't understand. Postal service is headquartered in Bern, Switzerland. It's a Rothschild convention. It's a Rothschild corporation. But the post office is still in existence. It was in existence before the country started. And the postmaster general is in charge of the bankruptcy. I don't know. Maybe I just shouldn't be reading so much. But once you start, you can't, well, I don't know about everybody else. Once you start going down this path, you can't stop. It's like reading the Bible. I read all the way through Job and then read it again, how his friends sat there and condemned him. And it was just amazing to keep reading it, and you get so much more out of it. And then when God spoke to him, nobody but Job made a comment, and he didn't make much. But they realized just what they were. We're quite insignificant in the scheme of things. We're here temporarily. Anyway, that's all I got to say. I'm trying to get better. I keep exercising, keep the hot pad going, and I've cut back on all the pharmaceuticals, the Tylenol, the Advil, the ibuprofen. That stuff just builds up into you, and after a while, it doesn't do any good. They gave me some muscle relaxers, and I've been getting up in the middle of the night, staggering, stumbling around. Finally, I read the bottle, the description on the bottle. It said, may cause dizziness. No kidding. I've almost fell down 3 times going to the bathroom. I quit taking that stuff, too. I can deal with the pain better than I can with all that. But I'll get there 2 or 3 more weeks.
Okay.
Anyway, that was an interesting night tonight. I wish other people would comment, but I.
Well, we've got somebody else that jumped in here, Mike, so we appreciate you.
All right. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, sir. All right. Bruce in Texas. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
We can, yes.
Yep.
Excellent. So I forget if it was Michael or Martin who was talking about the two documents available, Arizona State and North Carolina, from the Department of State. How do we request those documents?
Do you have my direct phone number, direct email address? Michael Edward here?
Yes, I do, Michael.
Okay. So if you've got my phone number, well, email's best. Just send me an email requesting it, and I will pop it over to you.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. I like these two letters because it is a gentle way to introduce to a law enforcement officer something that is a dichotomy to what they have been taught when they read with their own eyes on government letterhead exactly what's going on. The 1985 copy that I have, remember, in 1985, everyone was using typewriters. And typewriters, depending on the ribbon, depending on if anybody cleaned the type letter keys that struck the paper, that struck the ribbon, that struck the paper, or even how fibrous the paper was, determined how sharp and crisp and clear the lettering is. I have to confess, the lettering is not that crisp and clear, but you can read it. You can read it. So it's good to have. If anybody has, I'm just saying, GW, if you have a good, crisp, clear copy, I'd love to, of that, I'd like to look at it if I may.
Yeah, I'll see if I got a really crisp copy.
Yeah.
That would be good. Yeah.
What I have looks like it went through Xerox machines 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 times before somebody scanned it in. It's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. We'll try to remedy that.
Thank you, sir. Martin?
Yep, that seems to take care of us. I guess we take one
right.
Pass through.
Yeah, we'll take another pass through. While you're doing that, let me share with everyone. I don't know about John being on the call tomorrow night. He is diagnosed with having COVID, which I'll say is just the flu because it's really all it is. He is doing his ivermectin and his the other protocols that are in place to do things. He's not been vaccinated, and so let's just pray that his body is going to deal with it properly. So we don't know if he's going to be on the call tomorrow night or not. He may very well be. He may not. If he's not, then I'll do it. Martin, anyone else?
No, sir. No.
All right. GW, any closing comments?
No, that's it for now.
Thank you so very, very much, Martin. Good night, everyone. See you tomorrow night, prayerfully. Until then, be well.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.